So we're thinking about how Jesus used the title disciple. You know, he said in Matthew 28, go make disciples of all the nations, baptizing them in the name of the Father and of the Son and of the Holy Spirit, teaching them to observe all things, whatever I have, past tense, commanded you. There's one command there, and that one command, it's not in the old King James Version. The old King James Version says, go teach all nations. That's in a misfortunate translation, I'm afraid to say, because the word is mathetusate, and it means make disciples. So some of the more modern translations are more accurate in that verse. And that one statement is actually the only command in the verse of Matthew 28, verse 19. Make disciples. And there are three words in the same verse where Jesus tells us how to make a disciple. You go. Well, you have to invest in people's lives. Go be with them. Be a part of their world. Number two, immerse, baptizing them in the name of the Father, Son, and the Holy Spirit. We saw Sunday morning that baptism is an immersion for the purpose of having your sins sent away from you so that you can live without any of your past in God's record. What a thought. That's what baptism's all about. And that's part of what's involved in making people disciples. And then invest, go, immerse, baptizing, and then it's instruct, teaching them to observe all things that I have, past tense, commanded you. When I saw that past tense, have commanded, it encouraged me to do a deeper dive. What had Jesus been commanding relative to this concept of being a disciple? And I learned that he really didn't say that much about it. There are 9 key verses where he used the word disciple. And as we turn to those 9 key verses, we see what Jesus himself meant by the title disciple and what we are to try to make out of other people as we try to make the same out of ourselves. There are 3 of these verses in Matthew, 3 in Luke, and 3 in John. The 3 in Matthew are all in the same chapter, Matthew 10. The 3 in Luke are all in the same chapter, Luke 14. The 3 in John are not all in the same chapter. John made it a little harder for us. In Matthew's account, Matthew chapter 10, verses 24, 25, and 42, we learn how to make a disciple. A disciple in Jesus' mind is somebody that listens to Jesus, someone that looks like Jesus, and someone that lives like Jesus, helping individuals that are marginalized in society. That's how Jesus used the word disciple in Matthew 10. In Luke chapter 14, 3 more verses, all in the same chapter, and it's in Luke chapter 14 where Jesus tells us what it takes to remain a disciple. And there we learn in Luke 14, verses 26, 27, and 33, this is what it takes. We are to love Jesus more than anyone else. We're to live consumed by Jesus and no one else. And we are to be people who are loyal to Jesus more than anything else. That's what it takes. And if we're not willing to be that way, Jesus says, you cannot be. Literally, you don't have what it takes to be my disciple. Now we come to John's account. And in John, we find it in John chapter 8, John chapter 13, and John chapter 15. Jesus using the disciple 3 more times. And in John's account, as we focus on these verses where Jesus used the word disciple, we find Jesus telling us how to spot a fake disciple. Somebody that says they're a disciple, but in reality, they really aren't. Did you see what I did with that? Matthew 10, how to make a disciple. Luke 14, what it takes to be a disciple. Then John, how to spot a fake disciple? All those words rhyme, don't they? You see, Billy Smith, my dear friend back at Fried Hardeman, who trained that young man right back there standing under the clock, David, he taught that young man, and he taught all others that he taught how to preach the Bible, that you have various points and they start with the same letter. That's called alliteration. And if they don't start with the same letter, it's awfully good if they rhyme. Am I not right there? Awfully good if they rhyme. So all three of these points rhyme. What it makes, what it takes, and then how to spot a fake disciple. I want to ask you this. How genuine are you? If we were to use terminology that our young millennials are using, I might ask, how real are you? They say, man, he's real. Or, man, he's so transparent. Just how real are you? In the mind of Jesus, the way Jesus used the word disciple, are you real? Or are you a fake? Let's find out. Here's the first passage where Jesus uses the word disciple in the book of John. John chapter 8, verse 31 and 32. John 8, verse 31. Jesus said to the Jews who had believed him. Pause for a moment. Not to be real technical, but boy, it paints a word picture deluxe. The word that is translated believe there is in a tense, it's called the perfect tense, but it means something that has already happened back here in the past. And the consequences of what happened remain to that very moment. And so Jesus is talking to people who sometime in the past had already come to believe in him. They had already accepted what God said about him, trusted in what God said about him, and were acting out what God said about them, him, in their lives. They had come to believe in him, and that faith was recognized in the way they were living their lives. So we're reading about believers here. Jesus turns to these people who were already believers and said, IF, don't ever pass over that little two-letter word in your Bible. It's big in meaning. If you, Minno, remain abide in my word, you are truly my disciples, and you will know the truth, and the truth will set you free. You are truly my disciple. You can claim to be a disciple of Jesus, but if you don't abide in his word, that's just your claim. Jesus does not claim you as a true disciple. Jesus said, if you remain in my word, then you are truly my disciples. So to Jesus, a true disciple is someone who lives in the Word. Someone who's constantly in the book. Listen to them talk and you can hear the book. Watch the decisions that they make and you can see the book. Watch how they interact with people and you see the book. Pay particular attention to the way they respond to times that they have been mistreated, and you can see the book. I'm telling you, if I understand what Jesus means here, if you remain in my word, you are truly my disciples. If I remember that Jesus says to truly be my disciple, you must live in the word. That takes care of my attendance come Bible school. I'm going to be here for Bible school class. because I'm living in the Word. And it's going to help me to better understand the Word. That's going to help me with Sunday morning worship service attendance, Sunday night worship service attendance, Wednesday night worship service attendance. Because I'm going to be here to study the book. I want to know more about the book. I live in the Word. That's how you spot a true disciple. You spend more time watching television or reading the Bible? Do you read the Bible? Do you have a regimen for reading the Bible? I read the Bible through last year. Not the first time I've done it, but I had a little card that I secured from a friend of mine named Alan Webster. I bought 100 of them. And I went around to people that I worship with on Sunday. I said, would you help me read my Bible this year? And so I passed out 100, almost 100, and people were very receptive to getting it. And there was one man that I know for certain stuck with it. And he and I know he and I read through the Bible all year long. And he not only read through the Bible with me, this was a regimen where you read 3 chapters a day. That's all you have to do. And you can read through the Bible in a year. And so he would not only read those 3 chapters, but he would journal. He would sit down and he would write out things that he had learned. And then he would sit down and write out a prayer that he wanted to pray from that Bible reading that day. And he did that every day of the year. And this guy's a big fisherman. He'd go crappie fishing and he'd get in and he'd clean out his catch. And he'd sit down and he fixed a table in his cabin that he had just built. And it was a place where he was going to read his Bible and journal. And sometimes he would work real hard around his farm and he'd get in late at night and he's exhausted and it's 1, 2 o'clock in the morning. Oh no, I haven't read my Bible. And he'd sit down at 2 o'clock and read his Bible and journal. Last day of the year was a Sunday. The Wednesday before, he came up to me and said, I got an idea. What's that? He said, Sunday's the last day of the year. Let's wait and read the last chapter of the Bible, Revelation 22, together. And so after services on Sunday night, we went into a little classroom. He read the first half of the chapter. I read the second half of the chapter. We had prayer together. And I gave him my card and I said, his name's Tom. I said, okay, Tom, I want you to sign my card. And he signed my card and I have a curio cabinet in our den and I call that my treasure chest and I put that card in my treasure chest because Tom helped me read my Bible through every day or all through the year last year. I got behind on sometimes because my mama got real sick and she died. We lost about 6 weeks, so I had some catch-up to do, but I caught up, and I read through the Bible in a year. I didn't like it. I didn't like reading the Bible like that. That was not the regimen that I found as my favorite. I'll tell you what I'm doing now. I'm sharing this only to give you ideas on how to spend more time with your Bible. Right now, I am reading a gospel a month. So here's the month of March, 31 days in March, right? There are 28 chapters in Matthew. I'm reading a chapter a day. And I'm asking, okay, from this chapter, what can I learn about Jesus? And the second question from this chapter, what can I learn from Jesus? And by asking those simple questions and reading just that one chapter and meditating on it deeply, I am finding more and more and more things that are so intriguing about my Lord. And at the same time, I'm finding more and more and more ways He challenges my life and changes me into hopefully a better person. And so I read all the way through the book of Matthew and I have 3 extra days and I can go to 1 chapter books of the Bible and read them. Or if I'm in the book of Mark, that's only 16 chapters. I can read Mark twice. And I'm spending all year, every month, in the life of my Lord Jesus. I've done that before. I challenge you. You do that and see if you don't love Jesus more come December 31st. You will. If you abide in my word, you are truly my disciple. 1 Peter 2 says that we are to earnestly desire, as newborn babes earnestly desire, the milk of the word. You read Popular Mechanics, men? You read McCall's magazine, ladies? You into Sports Illustrated, guys? I don't know any other ladies' magazines to name by name. Can you name the starting lineup of the Florida Gators? Or the Miami Dolphins? Can you tell me who played in the Super Bowl? Now give me the names of the apostles. Quote book, chapter, and verse on how I can get from here to heaven. And you claim to be a disciple? In Jesus' mind, a disciple is someone who lives in the Word. The second verse in John is over here in John chapter 13. Familiar verse. Love one another, even as I have loved you. Verse 34, a new commandment I give you, that you love one another just as I have loved you. You also are to love one another. By this all people will know that you are my disciples. You can spot a disciple of Jesus by watching the way that person loves other disciples of Jesus. I read social media sometimes. I get sick and tired. Let me don't say sick and tired. I get sick when I read some of what my brethren write. Some preachers and the way they treat other preachers. And some of the men that are supposed to be individuals who know this book and preach this book every Sunday, and you watch the way they treat others, and sometimes even those they've mistreated them or mistreated their families, and you see how they have acted, and they claim to be a disciple, and I want to just shout in their face, you are a fake. By this men know that you are my disciples. If you love one another, and the word love there is agapao, cognate verb of agape, meaning a love that's logical, a thinking love, not a feeling love that's sensitive, but a logical love that wants what's best for the one that is loved. We are to love each other like that and prove our discipleship. Here's an interesting thought. Over here in 1 Peter chapter 1, verse 22, seeing you have purified your souls in your obedience to the truth unto unfeigned love of the brethren, love one another from the heart fervently. Now there are two words translated love there. Unfeigned love of the brethren is a word that means love of brethren, Philadelphia. The ice cream truck. Or Clarence got his wings, one or the other. That made me lose my train of thought. I started thinking about that chocolate chip ice cream cone, and I just went elsewhere with that. Do what? Philadelphia, thank you. Philadelphia. So, unfeigned love of the brethren, loving your brother. Seeing you've purified your souls unto loving brethren, love one another, that's agape or agapao, want what's best for one another. But here's what we just slide right over. You remember that little word we've been using all year, all week long? Baptize in order to obtain remission of sins. Confess, which leads to salvation. Leads to repentance in order to obtain salvation. Where the mouth confession is made in order to obtain salvation. That in order to obtain translates that little three-letter word, E-I-S, ice. 1 Peter 1:22 says, seeing you have purified your souls, ice, in order to obtain brotherly love. Love one another from the heart fervently. And here's the point. There were people in Peter's day who had become Christians because they saw the love that Christians shared with each other. And they wanted that. How many worship here because they see the love in this church? How many are encouraged to come here and investigate because they see the love in your heart for your fellow brothers and sisters in Christ? Remember this. Be challenged if not hurt. Romans 13 says, love does no harm. So when my brethren pick up that poison pen and write in their yellow rag, that yellow journalism where they cut and slice everybody they disagree with, love does no harm. Don't you tell me you love. Don't you tell me you love. When my brethren get behind a keyboard and they can hide behind a keyboard and behind a display screen and they can type whatever they want to type, hurt whoever they want to hurt, don't you tell me you love. Don't you do it, because love does no harm. I'm telling you, folks, we need to be hearing stuff like that. Not because I'm saying it, but because it's in the book. So Jesus says, if you want to be a disciple the way I use the word, you're going to have to love the way I love. And he loved to the point of sacrificing his own feelings. Do I sacrifice my feelings for the one that I'm supposed to be loving? Last of all, we turn to John 15, and in John 15, verse 8, we'll just be able to mention this briefly. By this my Father is glorified, that you bear much fruit, and so prove to be my disciples. So you can prove your discipleship according to Jesus if you live a life that lauds and glorifies God. In John's account, Jesus says, here's how you spot a fake disciple. They claim to be a disciple, but they're not living in the Word. They claim to be a disciple, but they're not loving like I love. They claim to be a disciple, but they don't laud and glorify God by the way that they live. Go make disciples. I would like to really get myopic in my application of that to leave with you. I want to add two words for thought. Go home and make yourself disciples. And then get ready to turn the world upside down. Brother Dan.